Tarlehurst End podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlehurst End weekend preview. It's a trip to South Yorkshire this Saturday for Reading as they host Sheffield Wednesday, who will be under the guidance of Steve Bruce for the first time at Hillsborough. My name is Ollie Allen, your host for today's show, and I'm pleased to say that I'm joined as ever by the Working Papers, Tom Crock. How's it going, Tom?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. It's turned into quite a busy week on the Reading front from what happened on Saturday, but you don't usually get that from a 0-0 draw, so we'll take it, I think.
More to do with what happened, not with the ball, but off the ball. Perhaps we'll move on to that in just a minute. But obviously, of course, that 0-0 draw, as Tom mentioned, against Aston Villa last weekend, and I think most fans were content with that result, really. I think, obviously, it means Reading are now two games unbeaten going into the Sheffield Wednesday game, you know, after that 1-1 draw with Bolton as well. I mean, we've actually only gone three games unbeaten so far once this season, by the way, so potentially a chance to equal that this weekend. But is this some sort of momentum, route, Tom? Obviously, you can put it like that, I suppose, if you want to. Is it sort of building? Obviously, I saw an interesting debate on social media this week, actually, about, you know, whether we would rather have sort of beaten Bolton and lost to Aston Villa, which would have put us on, I think, 1 point better off, obviously, indeed out of relegation zone as well. But, or, you know, sort of, as we have done, draw the two game, you know, because at least it means it looks as though, you know, at least we are sort of becoming harder to beat. And I think perhaps, you know, if we had lost that Villa game, then, you know, sort of any momentum we would have had, you know, might have been killed, I suppose.
Yeah, I think I still would have probably taken the extra point just from beating Bolton, just because Reading don't seem to have that winning habit at the moment. So any win you can get, I think, would have a massive boost on the squad. But yeah, so this is a fair enough argument. Obviously, if you go and beat Bolton and then get thrashed by Villa, then you're maybe back to square one a bit. But yeah, when you put the both games together, I think there's positives from both of them. Obviously, the Bolton one, it was a big disappointment to let it slip. But then the Villa one, like I said, I think most people would have been fairly happy with the draw. Villa, a decent side, and it was a game Reading possibly could have snatched in the end as well. To get a clean sheet against Villa, I think, is no mean feat, as Gomez was quite keen to point out. So yeah, I think there is a bit of momentum. We've seen it before, though, winning a game and then not following it up at all. So it's reluctant to say it just yet, while Reading are still in the bottom three and only won one of their last 14-15 games. It's hard to really say there's much momentum, but I think given the form of the sides around them as well, it seems like they're the ones who do appear to be maybe starting to turn a little bit of a corner. And like you say, it's only still 1 point away from being out of the bottom three, so they're in a decent spot there. If they can just get one or two wins, then things will suddenly look a lot better. So yeah, it feels like maybe a bit of momentum. Obviously, if you lose the next, there's a midweek game as well coming up, so we'll know a lot more this time next week, I suppose. But right now, I think everyone feels a little bit more positive than perhaps they did 3 or 4 weeks ago.
I think one of the main things that did please me, I think, from the game was that clean sheet. Obviously, Emiliano Martinez had a very good game in goal, made a couple of really good saves. I think one outstanding one to deny Tammy Abraham. It was a good save for the cameras and a good stop to deny him. Obviously, I think, you know, this was a Villa side who had only failed to score in two of their previous Championship games this season. So no mean feat at all from Reading's point of view. And I think in general, bar that 4-1 defeat to Swansea on New Year's Day, I think Reading have looked a bit more defensively solid under Jose Gomez. I think with clean sheets coming against QPR and Nottingham Forest as well, I think they've already kept more clean sheets under Gomez than they did under Paul Clement, which I think he was quite keen to point out in a press conference today. But I think, you know, I think that, and that will hopefully, I think, be the key sort of in this game this weekend, obviously, especially coming away from home. I think, you know, the defence is the basis to build a good result from, I think, especially when you consider Wednesday, with the likes of Lucas Joao, Adam Reach, Fernando Forestieri, Stephen Fletcher, all very, very good attacking players in their side.
Yeah, I think that's essentially what Gomez was trying to say today, that they're not winning enough games. It is still as simple as that. They need to be picking up wins sooner rather than later. But yeah, these clean sheets are something that, looking forward, hopefully in a couple of months' time, they'll look back and say this is when it started, keeping these clean sheets, keeping out the team, stop conceding the silly goals that they've been letting in for the whole rest of the season, and they can use that hopefully going forward. I mean, there's still a good chunk of games to go. If they can ride up this little period of they're not looking great in front of goal, that's the bigger problem now. But I think that's easier to fix, really, than what had been the problem of no clean sheets and letting in sloppy goals, because that had been going on for such a long time. So if they can get a bit of confidence, I think, now from keeping out these sides, I think going forwards, that the quality in the team is definitely there to score goals. I don't think anyone can really deny that. They're creating the chances, they're not quite putting them away at the moment. But I think going forwards, the goals will start to flow. And if they can then keep that tight defence, which looks sort of settled a bit more now, then I think that like you say, that proves to be the basis for any sort of success, and Gomez is keen to, I think, focus on that rather than the fact they haven't won too many games, although he knows that they have to pick up the win sooner rather than later. Although the teams around them, Bolton, Ipswich, Rotherham, none of them are really winning games either, which is probably helping Reading out massively. It feels quite similar to last season in that respect, that the teams on the bottom aren't winning many. So, yeah, if they can get another clean sheet, keep picking up the clean sheets, and they'll pick up more points, and then I think sooner rather than later they will start to win games like they did against Forest.
I think it seems to be a bit of a reverse, really, than it was under Paul Clement. Obviously, under Paul Clement, Reading had no problem really seeming to score goals. Obviously, they scored quite a few, and but then they couldn't really keep the clean sheets, which is a bit of a surprise, really, because obviously I think, in general, Reading actually look a little bit more bright going forward under Jose Gomez. But it is that cutting edge they're sort of lacking at the moment, and we'll talk about that a little bit more when we get into the team news in part three of the show. But looking at Sheffield Wednesday then, in general, they're currently 16th. In the Championship table with 38 points, having won their last two games against Wigan and Ipswich. 34 goals scored and 45 against gives them a minus 11 goal difference, I think, which is actually only one better than Reading's minus 12 goal difference, so not much between the two sides in that respect. The Owls are the favourites for this one, though, according to Odds Checker, hashtag GamblerWare, at 21 to 20. And the draw is 23-10, and Reading are 11-4. I think until perhaps they go to Ipswich in a few weeks' time, Tom, are Reading ever going to be favourites for an away game?
Probably not. No, not until they win one. Anyway, I think.
No, true.
It's such a
not
while
one since September. I think against Preston was the one and only away win Reading.
Yeah, I think the away record, despite that, isn't too bad, and that they're not losing that many games. They seem to be picking up quite a few points on the road, and if they can win some of the home games, that'll be a thing. I think where the main bulk of the points will have to come. But yeah, I think this is a game. Sheffield Wednesday seem to always be in and around Reading in the table the last few years, whether they're up or down. They seem to always be quite a close battle within the table. So yeah, it's one that's going to be no doubt similar to plenty of the other Championship games. Not entirely sure how they'll do under Steve Bruce. Obviously, his first home game, it will probably have a big impact, you'd imagine. But Reading have. Obviously, they've drawn with Villa, who are higher up in the table than Sheffield Wednesday. They've picked up other points. It was QPR were going really well when they went there and got a draw as well. So there's no reason why they can't go up there and pick up some sort of result. And obviously, they went to Derby and lost, which they sort of fellas didn't start playing till the sort of half an hour onwards in that game. That sort of cost them. So hopefully, they've learnt from that one. And like we say, with the defence maybe tightened up a bit more now. That's probably suits you even better away from home, where you can try and maybe play on the break with some of the pacey players they've got out wide, and maybe utilize that a bit more. So I think they'll go there with confidence on the back of the performances, if not the results or wins against Bolton and Villa. And yeah, I think despite the fact they haven't won an away game, they'll feel fairly confident they can go up there and maybe get a point at least.
I'm just looking at the away Championship table now. Reading in 19th out of 24 teams, so higher obviously than their league position. With that one win against Preston, and then seven draws and seven defeats. So not an entirely bad record, but obviously that one away win is a little bit worrying, and obviously still without a win on the road under Jose Gomez. As mentioned at the top of the show, obviously, as Tom mentioned there as well, this will be Steve Bruce's first home game in charge of Wednesday. I think that could either help or hinder Reading, really. I think, obviously, I'd imagine, the home crowd at Hillsborough will be right up for this one. Obviously, looking for that new manager bounce. Obviously, I mean, it is a bit of an odd one, really, because obviously Steve Bruce's assistants have already been there in charge for a few weeks, so whether that new manager bounce will really be in effect, I'm not too sure. But obviously, at the same time, Wednesday might well crumble, obviously, under that pressure. I mean, we saw in Jose Gomez's first home game in charge of Reading that they absolutely fell to pieces, obviously, and lost 4-1 to Swansea.
Yeah, that is true. I think, obviously, like you say, having the coaches in there, it will probably give Reading a decent idea of how Sheffield Wednesday are going to play. It's not going to be a sort of a complete new tactics or anything you wouldn't have thought under Bruce. It's the same sort of style that he's tried to implement. So you should like to think that will help Reading in that respect. But yeah, I'll say Sheffield Wednesday, it's one of those Championship away games where that they're sort of in the mid-table mix, and it's one that Reading can look at. And it's the same with so many of these away games now, apart from maybe the top four or five. I think the rest of them are all similar sort of challenges, really, in that they are winnable games. But all these teams at home, if they can get an early goal against Reading, which they have done so many times before, it proves to be such a long way back. So hopefully, for Reading's sake, there's not this new manager bounce. If they can just keep them out for the first 10-15 minutes, I think that's going to be absolutely key. Say the crowd will be absolutely bouncing if they can get an early goal, and first home game for Bruce, they'll suddenly start to feel a bit more optimistic themselves. But I think Reading can go there and keep things tight for the opening stages. I think they'll cause plenty of problems, and it'll just be down to if they can put the ball in the net this time.
I think that's really, you know, we can really ask from Reading from these away games. Obviously, I think, you know, we're not in a situation where we've been going into every game sort of expecting to try and pick up a win. I think, obviously, you know, naturally, I think managers will always say that every game is winnable and that they'll go into every game trying to win. But I think, especially with the situation that Reading are in, I think I said it before and after the Derby game a few weeks ago, that really it's the home games that are going to win you the points. And I think, you know, an away game against a side, you know, like Wednesday, you know, who aren't doing too badly, but, you know, still a good side. And with that new manager, I think a draw, I mean, we'll get onto predictions later on, but I think a draw would be a more than acceptable result, I think, certainly from my point of view. But Steve Bruce was one of the key talking points in the View from the Town End, where we get the thoughts of an opposing fan ahead of the game. So let's get into that one now.
The View from the Town End. What do the opposition think?
View from the Town End time now, and with Reading travelling to Sheffield Wednesday on Saturday. This week I'm joined by Owls fan Elliot Jackson. How's it going, Elliot?
Hi, Elliot. I'm good, thank you.
We spoke before the game between Reading and Sheffield Wednesday, back at the start of the season, obviously, which ended 2-1 to you guys, and that was the third win in a row for Wednesday after starting the season without a win in 3 minutes. It seems as though it's sort of gone much the same sort of way since then, you know, a bit inconsistent. I mean, you've picked up a few good victories here and there, but not really enough to get any momentum going. That's, you know, perhaps ultimately why you are mid-table. How would you sum up the season so far for Sheffield Wednesday?
Frustrating would be the word I would use, because, as you've said, it's been a very inconsistent season. We've had spells of very good results and then spells of very bad results, and that obviously meant the end of Jos Lehukai's reign, which was well met by the fans. I think it was definitely time for him to go in. In the last sort of seven games, Wednesday have took 14 points. So, you know, once again, back into a good spell at the minute, but it's been up and down.
Obviously, you mentioned that managerial change there back in December when Lehukai was sacked following a run of one win in 10 games. Steve Bruce, of course, announces his successor back at the start of January. He didn't actually take charge of his first game until the weekend, until last weekend, against Ipswich, which you won 1-0. I think the reaction sort of from outside of the club was a bit mixed towards Bruce. I think some people saying, you know, he's sort of, you know, one of those managers who's constantly on the managerial merry-go-round, but at the same time, you know, you look at his CV and sort of think that he has got teams out of this division before. What was his appointment sort of met with within the fan base?
I think the fans were quite happy. From a personal point of view, if I'm being honest, would he have been my first choice? Probably not, because I think that Wednesday is a big rebuilding job in terms of the problems they've got with financial fair play and lowering the average age of the squad. Mm-hmm. So I would have liked someone maybe a little bit younger, a bit fresher. But when you look at Steve Bruce's CV, you know, it speaks for itself. So by no means upset with it by any circumstance. And and you can't really be unhappy when you've got someone with that sort of pedigree in charge of your football club.
It's very early days, obviously, but, you know, he took charge of that game last weekend. He's had his assistant, in charge for the previous games before that as well. Do you think he is starting to make a change within the club?
It's very early days, as you've said, but, yeah, Steve Agnew and Steve Clements have been in for the past month or so.
Yep.
And results have been good. The key thing that's good, which is was the downfall of Jos Lehukai, is that the naming a very consistent back four. Mm-hmm. Goalkeeper, which is what stopped Wednesday from having the worst defence in the league to keep in 6 clean sheets in the last 10 games. Okay. You know, it's not rocket science.
Is that sort of a change of system as well? Is he still playing a similar sort of style of play as Lehukai?
Well, that was the problem with Lehukai. One week it would be a back three, the next week a back four. He sort of never seemed to really pick, and that was the problem, because I'm all for tactical flexibility and I actually preferred the back three.
Mm.
But when you're changing week in, week out, and you're shipping goals and you're changing the personnel, it's quite evident that the players weren't responding to the constant changes. So it was kind of a little bit like, if you want to play the back three, play it and live and die by your own decisions. But he never sort of really did that, and he'd constantly chop and change. So we are playing a back four now, playing the same personnel. Ever since Lehukai sacked, I think every league game has been the same back four, and Kieran Westwood's back and Hutchinson in front. So it's a lot more consistent, and the team are profiting from it.
Do you think Bruce has still had that influence despite not being sort of within the club itself? Do you think he's obviously still had that influence through his assistants?
Oh, absolutely, 100%. They've obviously, we know why Steve Bruce, he had his knee flushed out at the start of the month, and then, in fact, obviously the traumatic year he had last year, both his parents, he he went to, he promised he'd take his dad, and obviously his dad passed away, so he promised his family he would go to the cricket in Barbados. But he's been in constant contact with the two assistants, I know for a fact. And I know, for example, that he's been working hard, hence the three deals on deadline day to get them into the club. I know they've been working on that for a few weeks. Those names were sort of touted to me a couple of weeks ago, so we knew there would be activity. So it's clear that whilst he's not been on the training ground, his influence has been felt at Hillsborough.
Was that Dominic Iorfa coming from Wolves, I think, was it? And who, a winger from Newcastle as well, if I'm correct?
We've got Rolando Ahrens and Lazar both on loan from Newcastle, and Dominic Iorfa signed a 3.5-year deal for $200,000. So that's a good permanent sign, in my opinion.
Did they sort of plug the gaps that what they might have perhaps been missing within the side?
Definitely. Wednesday sold Jack Hunt, if you remember, in the summer, who was the long-time right-back under Carlos Carvajal in the successful years in the playoffs, and they never replaced him. They've had Liam Palmer and Ash Baker as a young academy prospect coming through. Iorfa's 23. A lot of people fancied him to be a Premier League player not so long ago, but he's not really fitting at Wolves with their three-at-the-back system. So with he's 23, he's cost $200,000, and it's the sort of signings I want to see Wednesday make going forward. On the left, Wednesday lack pace and a little bit of creativity at times when Forestieri and Zhao aren't fit. So a pacey winger in Rolando Ahrens suits, and Lazar will again bolster the options at left back because Matt Penny's out for a few months with having had shoulder surgery. So definitely plugs the gaps that Wednesday need.
What's the aim for the rest of the season now? Obviously, you said back in August when we spoke before that first game that the expectation for the club was the challenge for the playoffs. Obviously, with 17 games left, that's looking perhaps slightly unlikely. I think currently 6 deep in the table and 9 points off the top 6, although you do have a game in hand over a few teams. But, you are well clear of relegation as well. Is it about Steve Bruce sort of beginning to build for next season now, or is there still something riding on this campaign?
No, I think you've summed it up quite well there. I think with 17 games remaining for Wednesday, just pick up as many points as we can. Stranger things have happened. Obviously, if they win that game in hand, which is against Brentford at the end of the month, then they might only be 6 behind. So stranger things have happened, but Wednesday fans are not expecting anything. It's just a fact of, there's a big summer coming up with 10 players out of contract and financial fair play looming. So there's a big summer ahead. Let Steve Bruce assess the squad, see who he does want, see who he doesn't, and let him wheel a deal in the summer and hopefully give us the platform to then challenge the sort of top 10 next season.
I was going to say, do you see next season as more of the time, obviously, after that summer, whether the squad might look very different, I suppose?
Yeah, it completely depends on who stays and who comes in, etc. Because, knowing the ins and outs of the financial state at Hillsborough in terms of financial fair play, there's no doubt there'll be a lot of changes. Adam Reach has obviously been touted for a big money move. Forestieri always gets linked every window. So you never know. With so many players out of contract, we don't know who's going to get a new deal, who's going to leave, etc. So I'd like to think that the Wednesday will look upwards to the certainly sort of the top 10. But it's such a big summer. It really could make or break the next 3 or 4 years at the club.
Moving on to the weekend then, what did you make of Reading back in August? Have you seen much of us since then?
I've seen a little bit. I think you did some great business in the window, if I'm honest. I think Nelson Oliver was a fantastic addition. And looking at the game back in August, it was that you were sort of missing that bite at the top end of the pitch. I do like Sam Baldock, but I never felt the likes of Bob Varson, McNulty, Mate were really going to get you the necessary goals to keep you in the division. So getting Oliver is definitely a good move.
Well, I think obviously there was the whole incident with Tyrone Mings last weekend that I think hospitalised Nelson Oliver for 2 days. So I think it's a bit touch and go as to whether he might be fit for the weekend. But as for yourselves, for Wednesday, who should Reading fans look out for the weekend? Who might be the key player for you guys?
Well, we've been playing sort of 4-3-3 at the minute. So Adam Reach is obviously, you only have to look at the goal of the month winners and you'll see that he's smashing them in. So he's had a very good season. Forestieri's back. Now played his first almost 90 minutes at the weekend, and whilst he missed a few chances, he'll be starting to get rid of that ring rust and he'll be coming back into his own. I'd like to see Lucas Zhao start the weekend. He's Wednesday's top scorer, so that might sound a bit strange that he's not starting, but he often gets shoved out wide, but his best position is down the middle, so it would be interesting to see if he maybe gets a run down the middle instead of Stephen Fletcher, although he has been fantastic over the last month and won the Player of the Month, rightly so. So it'll be interesting to see what the lineup is on Saturday.
There certainly does seem to be goals in the Sheffield Wednesday team. But how do you see the game panning out of the weekend? Can I get a score prediction for the game?
I think going to, when you look at the sort of games Wednesday have got coming up, obviously they played Ipswich last week, they've got Reading on Saturday, then they've got Rotherham away and Millwall away.
Yeah.
So on paper, it's sort of a nice run of fixtures. So you'd like to think they can sort of build some momentum. As an optimist, I would expect Wednesday to get 3 points at the weekend, but I don't think it'll be easy because Reading have, you know, turned a corner a little bit. So I would again say 2-1 as it was at the Medeski.
Yeah.
Personally.
I think with it being Steve Bruce's first home game in charge, I think I would put Wednesday as the favourites for this one. But I think equally, you know, obviously under Jose Gomez, you know, Reading are becoming harder to beat. So I think I'm going to go for a 0-0 draw, perhaps optimistically. But do you think, you know, sort of with it being Bruce's home game, first home game in charge, there will be sort of a bit of renewed energy at Hillsborough?
You'd like to think so. You know, if you, yeah, when there's new manager and there's people are playing for the futures, you know, if you can't get up for a game like that, then you know, when are you going to be fair? Yeah. So I'd expect plenty of energy, and you know, there'll be although it was a last minute win, Wednesday thoroughly deserved to win last week. They missed so many chances,
yeah,
and it really could have been a 2-3-0 job. So I kind of do feel there is a big win coming soon, but I'm not sure. Mm. I think tired the weekend, but there is a big win coming soon. I can feel it.
Well, I think Jose Gomez's first home game in charge of Reading was a 4-1 defeat to Swansea. So hopefully, hopefully for Reading, but from your point of view, certainly Wednesday won't want to admit it to go that way for Steve Bruce's first home game in charge. But my thanks then to you, Elliot, for joining me on The View from the Town End again, and all the best on Saturday and for the rest of the campaign.
Cheers, Ollie. Thank you for having me on.
It's now time then for me and Tom to discuss Reading's team news ahead of the weekend and pick up a third lineups for the game.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at The Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/The Tarlhurst End.
Welcome back to the Tarlhurst End weekend preview podcast ahead of Sheffield Wednesday versus Reading this weekend. How are things looking injury-wise going into this one then, Tom? I mean, I suppose the main concern is Nelson Oliveira following that incident with Tyrone Mings last weekend.
Yeah, so it looks like he's probably going to miss the Sheffield Wednesday game. I think he's sort of quite keen to get back in as soon as he can. We spoke to him today and yeah, he doesn't seem to be too put off by it. I think he'll be back possibly for the Blackburn midweek game. I think he's going to have to wear face mask. I think he was getting that fitted today or yesterday. I think he had that done. So, but it looks like he can't play. He hasn't been able to do any training at all this week, even in the gym or anything. Cause he said he can't put any pressure sort of on his head or on his face because he broke his nose in 4 places. I think he said it was, and 5 cuts to his face. So, yeah, he's not been training. I don't think they can count on him for this Saturday. And then I think the rest of them, it's pretty much the injury list does seem to be coming down though. It's quite nice. I think it's just a list of 5 I got here now, which obviously Jordan Abita had his operation. They put no sort of time scale on that. Saeed's still a fair few weeks away, and Baldock as well is a long term one, and Antti Jäkälä is still not back on training on the pitch yet, so they're all still out. And then the only, there's been a bit of illness I think in the camp this week, it sounds like. I think McCleary missed a couple of sessions earlier in the week, but he's back now. And then Ovi Ejaria wasn't training today, Thursday, so whether he's fit enough to start, given they'll be travelling up on Friday, we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, so there's that's the only sort of doubt really, Ejaria, and the other 5 it looks like they're all going to be missing.
John O'Shea and Paul McShane, 2 centre-backs that were missed last couple of weeks, are they back in contention?
Yeah, they've been in training for the last couple of weeks, so it's just whether they're selected now. So in terms of actual injuries, it's only the 5 in that list, really.
With all of that in mind then, Tom, what would your starting 11 be at Hillsborough?
So yeah, I would have Martinez, Yadol, Moore, Miazga and Blackett, which I'm hoping they'll just stick with that back 5 for a few games now. There's been a bit too much chopping and changing back there, and I think those 5 are the best 5. Hopefully Blackett stayed at their left-back again. But yeah, he hasn't been recently, but obviously played well last week. So those are the back 5. And then midfield Rimota alongside Swift again, as it was last week, and Lewis Baker sort of played as number 10. I'd stick with that as a midfield 3, if you like. And then on the wings, Harriet played not great, but I think I would still keep him in given what the other options are. And I'd bring Barrow in on the other side. If Ajari is fit to play, I'd probably keep him in, but it sounds like he probably won't be. So Harriet and Barrow, and then given that Oliveira is going to be out, I'd probably go for Bodvarsson up front over Mate. So he's back now after he missed the game last week due to his partner giving birth, but he's back in now and fully fit, so he'll be involved, and I'd go for him to start up front.
I've gone with a very similar team. I think same back four and goalkeeper. I'd agree. I think, you know, if we are going to keep that solid defence we spoke about earlier together, you know, it's definitely worth keeping the same back 5. I've also gone with Rinomota and Swift in that holding role, and then Callum Harriet, Sonny Aluko, and Mo Barra in front of them. I think I've gone with Aluko over Baker in that number 10 role, which is the only difference between our two lineups, which we'll speak about in just a minute. And obviously then I too would go with Bodvarsson up front, which you know, I don't think is an ideal scenario really, obviously, you know, because Nelson Oliveira being, you know, being fit really is a big factor in this game, I think, for me. I think obviously he is Reading's main goal threat. He was obviously brought in January to play a very big role in the side, and he's obviously of course scored on his debut against Bolton. Do you think we might struggle a bit without him? Obviously, you know, behind him there is Jakub Mäyttä and John Dalibor-Varsson, you know, who in theory you shouldn't really be too worried about bringing into the side. I think they've got 13 goals between them this season, and you know they've certainly had their moments between them. Obviously, Bodvarsson came very early in the season, and Mäyttä had that sort of purple patch in October, November time. You know, both of them are sort of out of form and have struggled with injury of late as well.
Yeah, I'm not too concerned about having Bodvarsson in the team. Like I say, I think he's a good enough championship striker, especially now with Oliveira there. I think just from seeing Oliveira last weekend, he seems to be head and shoulders the best. Technically the best striker they've got at the club, and even if not just for goal scoring, just his general round play was just so impressive last week. But Bodvarsson as well, I liked what he did. I can't remember who it was against, the last home game before that he played.
Nottingham Forest
was it? Yeah, exactly. I think he played really well in that game leading from the front, so I think he can come in and fit that role fairly well, and it'll be down to the guys around him to try and help create the chances as well. But yeah, like I say, he can score goals at this level, and I don't think it's a major concern for one or two games. Say that him and Mäyttä, like I say, have scored the goals this season. You've got Loader as well, who hasn't got off the mark yet, but he'll probably be involved. But so Bodvarsson is, yeah, like I said, perhaps not ideal, but I think he's certainly a good enough striker to cause problems at this level, and I think he'll get the chance to show that again on Saturday.
I think it is just the goals for me. I think obviously, you know, I mentioned that they both scored 13 between them, but you know that I don't think either of them have scored since sort of November time. So that's probably the only concern from my point of view. And obviously we spoke about how goals sort of are, you know, short in supply at the moment for Reading. I think especially with Oliveira out, that it might be a potential problem. But you know, then I suppose behind, you know, you can't just rely on the, you know, one central striker to get the goals. You've got to be looking at your wingers. I don't think Mo Barrow has contributed enough so far this season. John Swift and Sonny Luko, you know, whichever one of those two plays in the 10 or Lewis Baker, you know, you're looking at people behind them to try and contribute with the goals, because, you know, I think playing that lone striker role is a difficult role, and you know, if Bodvarsson can't, you know, get on the end of those chances, you are looking at players behind him to try and contribute. But speaking of that midfield, you know, we saw what sort of Reading looked like in the middle of the park without Leandro Bacuna for the first time last week. Obviously both John Swift and Lewis Baker sort of rotated between the holding role and the number 10, you know, with no sort of real great success for either of them, really. I mean, is that looking sort of how things might shape up, you know, in at least until Ezra Tulahi, you know, becomes fit again? You know, because to be honest, I think that centre of the midfield is perhaps, for me, you know, where the squad looks perhaps a little bit weaker than it did before the transfer window, obviously losing that defensive presence with Bakuna going to Cardiff, obviously, and obviously Gomez has, you know, deployed two holding midfielders, you know, since his arrival. You know, might we see a change of tact, or, you know, or is he sort of putting square pegs in round holes at the moment for now?
I think he feels he only needs one, otherwise he would have kept Bakuna or brought in a replacement. I don't think he's massively concerned about it. I think Baker can be quite a physical presence in there if he plays deeper. I saw him, I thought he was really good last week in the number 10. I thought he was a lot more confident in there and played really well in the first half. I saw some fans were a little bit critical of his performance, but I thought he did quite well, and I think he'll probably get another chance. But yeah, I think it's just a different way they'll line up now. It's more of a, Rinomota's going to have to do more of the defensive work, and Swift, if he's playing deeper in there, will have to be a bit more disciplined to stay back there. But yeah, let's say it's probably maybe physically a bit weaker, but I think in terms of the quality of the players, Swift, Baker, still got Liam Kelly on the books, Rinomota, they're good options in the centre midfield. They just have to perhaps play it a little bit differently to if it was Rinomota and Bakuna. But I think longer term, going forwards, I think that it will help them having somebody like Swift playing deeper rather than Rinomota, Bakuna as a two. I think that will sort of limit you a little bit to how many attacking options you got on the pitch. So yeah, obviously time will tell as to whether they've got enough in there to get by without having Bakuna playing, as he pretty much played every week before. But without him, and if something were to happen to Rinomota, you'd look at it and you'd probably be a little bit concerned then. But for now, I think the options and the quality of the players they've got there are more than good enough. And I say, I think they played pretty well last weekend, with that sort of midfield three, if you like.
I'd forgotten about Liam Kelly actually for a minute. Obviously, he wasn't involved in the squad last week, despite, you know, sort of staying at the club following sort of the rumours on deadline day. But he put on his Instagram today some, I think, three free kicks in a row he scored in training, whether that was a show reel to try and get himself into the side, but whether Jose Gomez looks at his Instagram or whether he was looking at Kelly on the pitch himself, we might see Kelly, you know, trying to put a free kick top corner this weekend. But I think in general, you know, the squad does seem a lot happier now. I think it's been cut down. Obviously, you know, I think before the transfer window, you had sort of five or six players, you know, sort of missing out on the match day squad each week. And obviously, that probably wasn't great for morale. We had the likes of McNulty and Myler go out on deadline day. And obviously, now it's only sort of one or two players missing out. I mean, although it probably helps that there's a further three or four out injured at the moment.
Yeah, I think they're probably, yeah, like I said, they're probably still maybe four or five. Still, the squad is still too big, but it's still, now it's a bit more manageable. I think you can keep people happier a bit more and rotate it a little bit more. And I think last weekend it was just Kelly and maybe one other who... Kelly and Loader. They were the only two that were sort of fully fit. Obviously, you've got McShane and O'Shea who are back in training, but I think they need to play some sort of minutes in 23s first. Yeah. They haven't played as hardly at all for such a long time, especially McShane. So,
in terms of... the 37-year-old playing on 23 football.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's true. But yeah, so the options are, they want to get a tighter squad. And I think if everything goes to plan this summer, it'll be an even smaller squad next season, which is what they need. But for now, like you say, morale-wise, I think that's always bound to increase when you reduce the players who aren't just not involved at all. And I think going forward, it can only be a good thing. And people like Kelly, even though he's not involved now, I think there's every expectation that he will get some chance at some stage, and he seems to be improving under Gomez, I think, in training, and I say he'll be back at some point. But yeah, I think personally that the morale of the group is likely to be boosted, especially if they can, obviously they just need to get the win there, and that's the next big step. But yeah, in terms of the squad, they all probably feel more part of the squad now, and more that they've got a chance to get in there and make a difference rather than just sitting on the sidelines and never getting a chance.
I mean, it's an interesting point, really, that I think, obviously, results haven't really picked up that much on the game. We've still only won once against Nottingham Forest. But I think, in general, the mood amongst the fan base and, you know, seemingly the mood amongst the group of players as well, you know, seems a lot better than it did under Paul Clement. It is now about getting that result, whether that comes this weekend against Sheffield Wednesday or not, or whether it comes against Blackburn in midweek. We'll have to see, but it is prediction time then, Tom. Last weekend, we both said 2-2, so it was perhaps always going to end up with a 0-0 draw, but what are you going to go with this week?
Still got a point for the draw, though, which
we
I'll
did.
Take.
We both get a point for the draw, yeah.
I feel like I'm slowly turning the corner Reading style in that league as well.
Bottom, unfortunately. But
well, I was adrift, so...
Yeah, that is true, but you are creeping up behind. I think it's Westy who's second from bottom.
There we go. I'm going to go for a win. Incredibly, I'm going to go for a 2-1 Reading victory. I don't know. I just don't know. I just get the sense that something is turning. Obviously, we've been stung by that so many times before, but I think it is a game that they can go there and get the points in. And who knows? Maybe we'll have some even back-to-back wins by the next time we speak next week. Who knows? But we'll go for a 2-1 win to Reading. Just an optimistic prediction, possibly.
Back-to-back wins is bold talk, considering Reading haven't won back-to-back for well over a year now. November, December 2017, it would have been, since Reading won back-to-back against Barnsley and Sunderland. But I've figured out that people hardly ever go for 0-0 predictions, so I'm going to try and be a bit smart and say 0-0. I think it will be a tight game. I think, obviously, Reading, as mentioned, sort of looking a bit more defensively solid under Jose Gomez, as we discussed, sort of it would be a solid point sort of to build on going into that midweek game against Blackburn.
Yeah, I think I'd probably take a 0-0. Like I say, it would be three draws on the trot, but it's I think they would take another clean sheet would be massive, and obviously Blackburn and another side going fairly well, so to go into that with another point would be a big boost. Obviously the last away game at Bolton, they were so close to getting that. If they'd won that game 1-0, and then I think you'd definitely look at a draw here, and it would be a really good sort of batch of games. So you've got that block of games looming on the horizon against all the sides down around them, so if they can just muddle through these next couple and pick up another point or another couple of points, I think then they can really go into those three or four games and attack them, and that will probably be the make or break time. But yeah, I'll say for now I think they'd probably be fairly happy with a point, but I'm going to go for all three.
Looking at that Blackburn game as well, actually, I think Blackburn had won four games in a row, actually, so not the best time to play them, but then they did go and lose to Brentford 5-2 last weekend, so that results perhaps come at the right time for Reading. But that game will be previewed on the main show with Mark Mayo early next week. I'm sure the Sheffield Wednesday game as well will be discussed in depth, win, lose or draw. That'll be the next podcast, of course, in your feeds before myself and Tom return ahead of another trip to Sheffield for Reading as they take on Sheffield United. That's quite rare that they go to the same city 2 weeks in a row, but they are, of course, facing Sheffield United, doing very well. I think third in the Championship at the moment, next weekend, of course, as well as the podcast. And we do have the website at tylesden.com, and there's plenty of content for you to go and check out over on that right now, including our January Player of the Month vote. I also wrote a piece on the whole Tyrone Mings, Nelson Oliveira situation early in the week too. Of course, obviously we didn't speak about that too much on today's show because this is the preview show, but Mark and Westy did speak about that in quite some depth. On the main show early in the week, and there is that piece on the Tylist End as well, sort of looking at the FA rules, obviously, supposedly because the referee said that he'd seen it, no respect of action could be taken, you know, and the FA's just sort of ticked that box and say that because that's the case, they literally can't view it again, which seems a bit archaic to me, but there we go. On a similar note, Tom, what can we look forward to on the working paper in the next week or so?
Yeah, Nelson Oliveira himself has been speaking in depth about that that today, an incredible half an hour at Hogwood with Nelson. That's up online now, just sort of the straight quotes from him. It was, quite the incredible interview. But yeah, that's gone up. He's not too happy, I think, is it's a nice way of putting it. And similarly, Jose Gomez as well was not impressed. So there, all the quotes and reaction from those two will be up on the wokenpaper.com. And then also Simeon's done a column for us about the January transfer window, so that'll be up. And then, yeah, it's Sheffield Wednesday on Saturday before back at home on Wednesday night against Blackburn. There's also a competition on our website to win tickets for that Blackburn game, so head over and feel free to enter that one as well. So, yeah, that's all going to be up online, and I'll put it on Twitter at Tom J. Crocker for that.
Fantastic. Yeah, go and check out that on the I'm Working in Papers. Right, I'm just looking at these quotes now. I won't read the whole thing out because it's definitely well worth a read. I'm over on the Working Paper, but just the whole thing about saying if that had been Harry Kane who'd been stamped on, the FA would have looked into it. And, you know, how in Portugal, Spain, Brazil, it would have been looked into. So fair to say Oliveira wasn't very happy at all, was he?
No, yeah, I think that's something I tweeted earlier in the week, that if it was in the Premier League, I think something that definitely would have been looked at. And yeah, obviously it wasn't the Premier League before with Mings, and he got a 5-game ban for it for something nowhere near as bad as this one, I think. So
I think it's involved Ibrahimovic as opposed to Nelson Oliveira.
Exactly. It's, you can understand why he's frustrated. Like you said, it was so close to being so much worse for him. So he's just, I think he's just lucky, he feels quite lucky that he's still able to be playing and hopefully back in the next week or so. So yeah, it was good quotes from him and well worth a read, I think.
Yep, definitely worth going and checking that out over on the Working Paper. Many thanks then, Tom, for joining me on the Tylesden weekend preview this week. I'm sure we'll speak again ahead of Sheffield United next week.
Yeah, we'll do. Speak to them.
And as always, a big thank you to you at home for listening as well. Have a safe journey up to Hillsborough if you are going to the game this weekend. And come on, you are.
The Tylehurst End Podcast. By Reading fans, for Reading fans.